Intervention strategies for upper elementary students who struggle with reading comprehension. This has been our focus for the last couple of weeks, and what our reality is that some third, fourth, and fifth grade students are not on grade level or near becoming proficient in reading, let alone in reading comprehension, and this is problematic. I am going to be diving into cognitive factors that prohibit students from comprehending any type of text that they read, and I am going to be sharing my personal experiences. I am not a psychologist or a doctor, but what I will share with you are real factors that may exist in your very classroom, and I want to provide a glimmer of hope that there are things that you can do for your students. And they will be so grateful for you for just helping them even a little bit. All right, I am ready to share interventions for attention issues, processing speeds, dyslexia, and more. So if you are ready, I will meet you inside. Welcome to the Literacy Dive Podcast, a podcast for educators who want to take a deeper dive into all things reading and writing instruction. I'm your host, Megan, a true lover of all things literacy. Join me each week as we dive into teaching tips, engaging ideas, and actionable step-by-step strategies and examples to help you close the gap and lead confidently with best practices. I'm all about keeping things simple and digestible so that you can implement what you learn here as soon as tomorrow. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Literacy Dive Podcast, especially if this is your first time here. Welcome, welcome. I am so thrilled that you are here today. And for my returners, I hope you are ready to continue this deep dive into comprehension, where we are going to now be focusing on those cognitive factors and those cognitive aspects that might be the reason that our students are not necessarily meeting that comprehension standard when it comes to reading. Now, before we get started, in the show notes, you are going to find all of the links that you possibly need from anything that has been shared within this episode, previous episodes on this topic, and so forth. So there is a free activity set that I put together for you, and it involves a collection of just different resources and scaffolds that can help support your students around the reading comprehension skill of context clues, being able to use whatever they can pull from in order to make meaning of vocabulary words. So go ahead and use the URL, theliteracydive.com/contextclues in your browser, or you can just head to the show notes in this particular podcast app, or you can go to the show notes page on my website and get access to all of the links. All right, let's go ahead and dive right in. Addressing cognitive challenges that can severely limit reading comprehension requires specialized strategies that are going to focus on the unique needs of each student. Today, I will dive into strategies and interventions that you can implement to support students facing challenges with attention, processing speed, working memory, language processing, and dyslexia or other learning disabilities. If you missed last week, you can listen to a similar structure of offering intervention support for students who lack foundational and fundamental core reading skills and strategies, and that will be found in episode 168. Since this episode is going to be touching on actual cognitive concerns, you will want to invite a literacy specialist, the parents, and administration into this equation so that ultimately the best next steps can be taken for these students. However, in most schools, it is required that a certain amount of weeks of intense systematic interventions have been tried, along with logging detailed notes of what resulted before any child is officially tested and or diagnosed. So the great news here is that what I'm going to share with you can actually be done by you, and this is going to put you one step ahead of the diagnosticians who want you to try X, Y, and Z first and report back with those outcomes. So when you can show that you were alert and observant And these students were definitely ones that caught your attention. And you didn't stop there. You decided to take action and you intervened with your interventions and your accommodations. This is going to show that this student is high priority for you, and you are now seeking a team that you feel should be formed to support this student or this group of students. When it comes to attention issues, you want to make sure that you have a structured environment. Create a classroom environment that minimizes distractions and provides clear, consistent routines to help students focus. Many teachers, I was one of them, loves the fancy fonts, or I loved animal print, but they love fancy fonts and colors, design, the crowded walls because you want to display all the student work, and you may even have multiple windows in your classroom if you are fortunate enough to be able to see the outside. But as great as these things are and how they look, this is not helpful for kids that have ADHD, as they can become extremely overstimulated and they can also become highly distracted. So if you must have these decorations in your classroom, consider placing these students in a spot where the distractions are minimized the most, and that can be a way that you're already thinking about their placement and what will not feed to that natural ability that ends up overstimulating them or causing them to not pay that close attention. You will also want to begin breaking tasks into smaller steps. Present reading tasks in short, manageable segments to keep students from becoming overwhelmed and to help maintain their focus. So that is just basically looking at, if this is a one-page passage, what can I do to make this even smaller for my students? And if this is a book that they're reading, what does this look like for me to present what they have to read in smaller chunks? That is what you have to get to with this step with these students. And then you'll want to use visual aids and cues, because incorporating visual aids, checklists, and color-coded materials to guide students through reading tasks and to maintain their attention is going to be key. Using green for go and red for stop on their passages, or using sticky note flags that can stick inside of their book, are really helpful visuals for chunking the text and reminding students of their next reading skill, strategy, or task that they have to work on. For the processing speed difficulties, you will want to begin that process of intervening and providing additional time for them. Allowing that extra time for reading and comprehension tasks to accommodate those students who process information more slowly. You also will want to think about simplifying the instructions. Maybe that is offering instructions in simple, clear language and breaking down the tasks into even smaller and more manageable parts. And then you might want to think about using technology. This will look like implementing adaptive technology that can be tailored to a student's pace, such as software that allows text to be read aloud to that child. If you have a student or multiple students who have deficits with their working memory, here's going to be a couple of interventions that you can be able to do for them, and accommodations, strategies, and so forth. You'll want to chunk the information for them. That is breaking down the information into smaller chunks to reduce the working memory load. So for this type of chunking, there is a reason for it, which is to remove the big load that the memory takes on when it has to work to make sense of all of this information. You can give students an index card and teach them how to cover paragraphs below what they're reading to kind of block it out and make it disappear. You may also need to physically cut test passages for them for the sole experiment to see if this helps by them not getting overwhelmed by seeing a whole page of words and paragraphs. You can also color code the sections or use brackets to show the portions that your students should read before stopping to take a break. So these are all strategies that you can try when wanting to support that working memory, especially if there is a deficit. You also want to think about repetition and review. This is going to be where you will want to regularly review material solely to reinforce the learning and to aid in that memory retention. So where we think that we need to move on, repeating things over and over are really beneficial for these students with working memory deficits. So this is something that you really want to prioritize. And just recognize that this is also going to help other students too with their memory retention. And then utilizing graphic organizers. For these students, use graphic organizers to help them visually map out the ideas and the information that is going to end up facilitating an easier recall process for grabbing the information they need and then doing something with it. When this information can be removed from students' brains and stored on an organizational chart, their minds become lighter and can work more freely on other reading components and other tasks. So you definitely want to think about, what can I do to lighten the load, especially when it comes to storing information in the brain? Ever wonder why students can't seem to retain those key vocabulary words? Is it a struggle to make vocabulary stick in your students' minds long after the quiz is over? Do you feel like you have run out of creative ways to teach new words? Well, I hear you, and the answer is here. A resource that weaves vocabulary development seamlessly into writing exercises. You can seriously watch your students' word knowledge and writing competence grow together effortlessly and enjoyably. It's truly the dual power approach that you've been waiting for. Enriching vocabulary while polishing writing skills. And now, my vocabulary writing prompts are offered by grade level. I know, it might sound too good to be true, but if you're curious to experience the transformation firsthand, I want you to grab a free sample compiled just for you. Ideal for 2nd to 6th grade educators, you can now try a tailored vocabulary writing prompt for each grade level. Witness the spark of interest and the growth in your students' writing abilities yourself. You can find this download in the show notes, but you could also head to theliteracydive.com/vocabulary and download your free sample today. Step into a new world where vocabulary learning is engaging, effective, and exciting. Do not miss out on this opportunity to revolutionize the way that you teach vocabulary. For students with language processing disorders, you will want to focus on explicit language instruction. This could look like providing direct instruction in syntax, grammar, and language usage to support that language processing skill. These will end up mimicking patterns and the order that speech has to follow in order to make like a complete sentence, let's say, which students can then model after. Once they can hear or read sentences properly, meaning is going to be that much easier for them to pull out of those sentences. Then you want to think about the speech-language therapy collaboration. This is where you can work closely with a speech-language pathologist to integrate language therapy goals with classroom activities that you have going. If there isn't an SLP in your immediate building, you can use social media to connect with one. In my experience, any specialty teacher tasked with Tier 3 interventions or that do a really, really, really systematized process with helping students with differences, they are more than happy to support and guide you as a classroom teacher or parent with strategies and activities to use in the classroom or at home that are going to support their one-on-one sessions or their small group sessions. And really, I just like to stop and think about it. If you can make their lives easier, they're going to absolutely give you strategies to try in the classroom, because that work is just going to better the child. And when they come back to those language sessions, well, if growth is kind of picking up speed because they're now doing it in multiple places at home, in the classroom, in their one-on-one personalized sessions, then they can start adding on the next building blocks, which is just going to show growth within that student. So definitely utilizing the experts on campus with you in your district, or finding one that you can seek out and connect with even online. You will also want to think about multisensory teaching methods with these students. So this is where you will employ multi-sensory instruction strategies that will involve the visual components, the auditory, and the kinesthetic tactile cues that are all designed to enhance language processing. This variety will work together to provide the different elements needed to help make language stick, which then will help tremendously in comprehension. Then we have dyslexia and other learning disabilities. And for this, you are going to want to use structured literacy programs. And this is using evidence-based reading programs designed specifically for students with dyslexia and other learning disabilities that you might find that are identified. Focusing on phonics, focusing on vocabulary, and focusing on reading comprehension. The goal here is that you will want to start giving oral accommodations just to see, is this actually helping my student when they don't have to use all of that muscle memory to try to decode these words? If I tell them exactly what they have to do on this test, will they score higher because they actually know the content? It's only that being able to read this grade level content is a struggle and it's a lapse in their comprehension. So when you're giving oral accommodations, you will offer to read the instructions and the text aloud or use a text-to-speech technology to bypass those decoding difficulties. Then you will also want to think about alternative assessment methods. Can you allow students to use oral presentations instead of written paragraphs? Can you allow them to make a project that shows their knowledge? Can they create visual demonstrations as alternatives to written assessments to allow students to demonstrate that they actually do comprehend the content? It's just that if you ask them to write about it or read something and then write in response, it is not going to mimic or reflect what they actually do know. If a student is actually diagnosed with dyslexia or any other type of learning disability, you will want to talk to their dyslexia interventionist to see what are some things that you can bring into the classroom that can be able to support them. But if they actually do have dyslexia, those accommodations like oral administration or being able to break apart the instructions for them or even providing extra time, all of those will be accommodations they will get as a part of their 504 plan. So you just really want to make sure that you're in close communication with those who are administering services so that you are actually in compliance with giving those children the accommodations that they need. If they are not diagnosed, but you highly suspect that this could be the case, you definitely want to communicate this to your admin, communicate this to someone who can get you support, because as I stated here, there are definitely things that you can try. Giving them oral accommodations, oral administration of one test is not going to make or break their scores. But if you do that and you find, oh my gosh, when I did this and I read the instructions, they scored a 70 versus scoring a 40, that is a telltale sign that this child actually does comprehend what they are, the content at hand. It's just a lapse of language and that has to be figured out. So trying some of these methods, it's not going to be make or break if you're just implementing it just to kind of see how would they do if I tried this? And you will have that feedback and that data where you can be able to take what you tried, present it to those who are in leadership or over the literacy block at your school, and figure out what the next steps are going to be for these students. In addition to these strategies and interventions, ongoing assessment in collaboration with special education teachers, psychologists, and other specialists are going to be vital to effectively support students with cognitive challenges, especially if they are diagnosed. Do not be fearful to reach out and share the signs of what you're observing and ask for help, ask for assistance, ask for some strategies. This cognitive component is far bigger than you, so during the wait of getting certified expert assistance, tailoring interventions to each student's specific needs and monitoring their progress closely and making those necessary adjustments as needed can significantly improve their reading comprehension and their overall academic success. What I love most about podcasts is the ability to play back any portions that you need to reference again. So please share this episode with your colleagues, with a parent, with an administrator who is looking for strategies to help kids with these cognitive factors that inhibit their ability to comprehend text at the rate and pace that is desired for their grade level. Next week, I am going to be wrapping up this comprehension deep dive by looking deeper into the environmental factors that affect reading comprehension and offering you some interventions and strategies to support these students. Until then, keep diving into comprehension. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Be sure to click that follow button so you never miss a new episode. And if you are enjoying what you hear, please consider sharing this podcast with a friend. Until the next episode, we can hang out over on Instagram at The Literacy Dive, and you can search The Daily Writing Disguise in your web browser to dive into a stockpile of creative writing activity collections created by me with student engagement in mind. For literacy resources and support, you can search The Literacy Dive on TPT. I'll catch you in the next episode.